15 of Book of Luke. Quick recap. We're in a series called Close to My Heart. The concept of the series is that I asked you to submit to me some passages of Scripture that are particularly close to your heart. These are passages that you have gone to, have leaned on in times of trial, in times of joy. These are really important passages of the Bible to you in your life, and I received many of your responses. And for the first, I think it was 5 weeks, I preached the sermons that were close to your heart, and then after an inadvertent mistake on my part, as I'm turning to John 15 and land accidentally on Luke 15, and the Lord begins to speak to me through Luke 15, it turns out that now God wants to share with you His heart, what is close to His heart. And so we ended before Luke 15 on Psalm 139, where I've asked you to open your hearts, to examine your hearts, to lay out your hearts before the Lord. Ask the Lord to search you and know you and reveal to you the ways that your heart might be offensive or grievous or different from God's heart. And God responded with, okay, I'll show you what your heart ought to look like by showing you my heart. And we're going to put these side by side. We started last week with a look at verse 1 and 2 of chapter 15, and then a kind of a survey of chapter 14. And today we're going to look at some stories that Jesus tells in chapter 15. Next week we'll look at another story that he tells, and then finally we'll conclude the week after that with the end of chapter 15. So these weeks ought to be for you. If you're a follower of Jesus, they ought to be for you a searching of your heart. The Lord is making very clear to you His heart. And if you're open, if you are honest, if you will really lay down your heart and say, God, Psalm 139, search me and know me and reveal to me my grievous ways. If you're honest and you'll do that for these weeks, I believe that God will change your heart. That you will come to have His heart. And I say that because that's what's happening in me. God is giving me His heart. He's changing my heart so that it's like His. And it's a wonderful thing. It's an overwhelming thing, honestly. But it's a wonderful thing. So, Luke chapter 15, a recap over last week. Remember 15, 1 and 2, said, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. I see two groups of people. And it's an oversimplification. I get that. Life is not black and white, there's gray. But I see here two groups of people. I see sinners who are eating with Jesus, and I see religious people who are grumbling at Jesus. And the Lord, as I laid out my heart, allowed me to recognize that I am more closely associated with the Pharisees, the ones who grumble at Jesus, than I am with Jesus. And so I've been submitting that to Him and asking Him to deal with me, and He has been in a gracious way. And I invite you into that same process. Now, in chapter 14, Jesus exposes the indifference toward the outcasts of society. He reveals to these religious types why it is that they would ignore a man with dropsy, whereas Jesus ignores them and focuses on the man with dropsy. He heals him. He breaks the traditions. He heals the man with dropsy, and the religious types go nuts. And he reveals to them that it's an indifference in them because they are attention grubbers. They crave attention. I believe that Jesus said that they desire the approval of man rather than the approval of God. Now listen, it is so easy to fall into that. None of us should underestimate our ability to fall into that trap. Oh, I'd never be a Pharisee. It is so easy to become a Pharisee, to get so wrapped up in the approval of man rather than the approval of God. But he then reveals the heart of God. He gives an illustration of a banquet, how a man throws a banquet and he is inviting the outcast, the poor, the lame, the crippled, the blind. And he says that those who were originally invited, who didn't have time for him, that they would never taste the banquet. Jesus is referring to the religious type. And then he says that the cost of following him is everything. He says, if you want to follow me, you give up everything. And the hungry and thirsty are drawing near to hear him. And he receives them and he eats with them. What does it mean to receive someone? It's to welcome them in. It's to love them. It's to throw open your arms and embrace them. And these people weren't received by anyone. These are people who were rejected by everyone. But Jesus receives them. Oh, they might have been used. Jesus refers to tax collectors and harlots elsewhere. And so these sinners are likely to be prostitutes among them. They were received in a way, but they were abused and used. Maybe others, well, maybe some of you here today feel that you have never been received. You may be used. If people interact with you and engage you, maybe it's because of what you have to offer. Or maybe there are others of you who need to examine your heart and ask, is that what I do to people? Do I love people who can give back to me? Jesus is eating now with people who are abused, and he is scolding people who abuse. Says that he eats with them. What does it mean to eat with someone? He receives them and he eats with them. Listen, I think that this is Jesus' way of identifying with them, of putting his reputation on the line. Just imagine that you are seen in our community eating with someone who is notorious. You are putting your reputation on the line. People are assuming that if you would eat with that person, then you must be like that person. And Jesus didn't care. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made Jesus sin, who knew no sin, that we would become his righteousness. There's an identity there. Jesus didn't just pay the penalty for your sin. Jesus owned your sin. Jesus became your sin. Jesus identified with your sin so that you could identify with his righteousness, that you could become his righteousness. Now look at this. Look at what happens. Jesus is exposing to the religious people their hearts. And he's saying, your hearts are far from God's heart. Here in the next two stories, Jesus nails it down for them. Because listen, there's people in the room on both sides of the table. There's people here. I want you to try to feel the tension. Here's a religious teacher, a religious man. They call him rabbi. They call him teacher. Here's a religious teacher. He's a Jew. He's a rabbi. And he's breaking the traditions. And so on one hand, you've got people that are the religious type that are all about the religious traditions. And they're scowling at Jesus. They're so mad they can't even talk. They're scowling at him. And then on the other side, you have these sinners who are sitting there, they're eating, and they're like, awkward. How's this going to play out, you know? I mean, it's like Jesus has invited us here, but here's these people that we're kind of afraid of, that have rejected us, and they're in the room. They're all in the same room together. And Jesus lays it out there really, really clearly with three stories that illustrate God's heart. You see, there's this tension in the room. Everyone is trying to figure out what's right, what's real. And Jesus illustrates the heart of God in three stories. We're going to look at the first two today. Jesus tells two stories in verse 3 through verse 10. He says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Let's pray together. Father, show us your heart. Show us your heart. And show us our hearts, and create in us a heart for you, which is a heart for people, a heart for sinners, a heart for the outcast, the rejected, the isolated, the sinner, the tax collector, the prostitute. I pray, Father, that you would create in us a heart for the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. See, Jesus tells these two stories. He wants to appeal to everyone, so he starts with a man, and then he continues with a woman. Look at verse 4 and verse 8. It's the same. What man of you, or what woman, having 100 sheep, having 10 silver coins, if he's lost one of them, if she loses one coin, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligent until she finds it. Stories are the same here. He wants to make this appealing. He wants to appeal as broadly as possible because it's a universal truth. Something is lost in the stories. Hopeless and helpless, isolated, alone. A sheep by itself without the protection of the shepherd is as good as dead. And a gold coin or a silver coin that is lost is useless. I want you to notice here that this lost thing is one of many. He says, suppose that one is lost. Does he not leave the 99? The man has 100 sheep. The woman has 10 coins. Only one of them is lost. The owner has plenty more. So what does it really matter that one is lost? Does it make a difference that one of my sheep is lost? I have 99. Does it matter that one of my coins is lost? I have 9 more just like it. But oh, that lost thing is valued. that lost thing is valued. The owner leaves the 99 and goes after the one. The woman leaves the 9 and searches diligently for the one. In verse 5 and 6 and verse 9, it says, when he found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. And verse 9, and when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost. How many of you have lost your keys and you find it? Oh, that's such a relief, isn't it? And yet, you don't call your neighbors. You don't call your friends over and say, hey, we're going to have a great big party because I found my keys. And yet, do you hear the heart of God singing through these stories? He calls his neighbors, she calls her neighbors and says, rejoice with me. Even though I had 99 that were safe and sound, I have found the one. He goes until he has found it. She searches diligently. She sweeps the house. She lights the lamp. She looks under the cabinets. She pulls up the sleeping mats. She goes through the cupboards. She empties out the canisters. She searches until she finds it. He goes into the country until he finds it. And when the one is found, they rejoice. And they make a big deal about it. They invite their friends. They invite their neighbors. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. The owner searches for the one and rejoices when he's found it. Verse 7 and 10, Jesus says, just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. In verse 10, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus says, just so. In other words, in the same way as the parable, there is great joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. The lost sheep and the lost coin, who are these people? These are sinners cut off from God. These are people who are isolated and they are alone and they are rejected and they are hopeless and they are helpless and they're as good as dead. And listen, though God is busy upholding the universe and caring for the many of his children, says that he goes after the one. I don't know what you think about God, but God relays to us his heart very clearly, very definitively, that he is not too busy for the one. For the one. He is upholding the universe. He's holding molecules together. He's hearing the prayers of millions of his children. And yet he goes after the lost sheep one by one. He's not like Sam's Club or Costco, where he buys them in bulk and they're just one of many. No. Each sheep is known by name. Each sheep is loved. Each sheep is diligently sought after. Each sheep, one by one, God is searching for lost sheep. And Jesus here, Jesus is the seeking heart of God. Jesus is the light. He says, I am the light. What light? I'm the light that the woman shines into the darkness to find the lost sheep. I am the shepherd that God has sent out to care for the sheep. And when even one of my sheep is lost, I go and I search for it. Jesus is seeking after the lost, and he's winning their repentance. Do you see here that repentance is key? He says that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, the truth is that there is no 99 who need no repentance. Romans tells us that there is no one righteous, no, not even one. But Jesus, speaking in hyperbole, saying, even if the 99 don't need repentance, that does not give more joy than even the one who does repent. This is not to say that God does not rejoice in our worship. The 99 who come together with repentant hearts, and we don't have any major sin that we need to confess, and we're right with God, He rejoices over that worship. Jesus says that the Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. But Jesus is revealing the heart of God, that even though God has 99 worshipers who are right with Him, He rejoices even more over the one who repents. And as we'll see next week, one could actually argue that since the purpose of this whole chapter is really the religious people, he's really speaking to the religious, he's really speaking to the Pharisees, that Jesus really means the 99 righteous people, the 99 who think they're righteous, who think they don't need to repent, the good boys and girls. You see, the 99 who think they don't need to repent, they get excited about people who have it together. They look out over the crowd, they look out over the people, and they see them going through the motions. They see them living the religious life. If it's modern day, it's our church, we get excited about people who come, who look like us, who don't bring their drama and their baggage, who kind of leave that in the shadows, who don't really allow anyone to catch on that they've got issues too. And that's who the Pharisees got excited about. And so the measure of success for them is that there's a lot of people that have it together. The 99 who need no repentance. But Jesus says that there is rejoicing in heaven, not over the 99 who have it together, but over the one who knows he doesn't have it together, who is found by the shepherd, who is brought back to the table, and who repents. Now listen, as a church, how do we do this? How do we welcome people who are sinful? How do we love them? And how do we bring them to repentance? It's easy for us to lead out with repentance. It's easy for us to lead out with conformity. It's easier for us to say, when you do this, then you'll be accepted. If you want to be accepted by us, then look like us. This is what it looks like to be a Christian. But recognize that repentance is caused by the shepherd. You see, the shepherd goes out to the sheep. Now look, we're going to deal with something here in the parable of the prodigal son, where he does return. He comes to himself, and he goes back to God. He goes back to the Father. But in these two stories, look, the shepherd goes out to him. There's something there. There's something where we got to say, you know what, lost sheep, we're going to love you until God causes you to repent. Our love for you is not conditioned on your repentance. We're standing here calling for you. We're standing here inviting you to come to the Father. We love you, and we want you to repent. But there's an element where until the Lord softens the heart, until the Lord goes out and finds the sheep, that repentance isn't even possible. Repentance is key, but the lost sheep is not left alone in that process. The shepherd goes and finds. He seeks and saves. Now, I just want you to peel back heaven for a moment as you consider verses 7 and verse 10. Says there will be more joy in heaven. He says there will be joy before the angels of God. Peel back heaven for a moment. This evening, you will probably all be rejoicing in some form or fashion with the Super Bowl. You'll see stadiums of rejoicing people. Now, I want you to see that. I want you to maybe picture that the stadium is angels. And the sheep are on the field. And imagine that the one sheep is found. And the crowd just erupts. There is more joy and celebration in heaven over the one lost sinner than over the 99 who need no repentance. My question to you is, what gets you excited? What are you cheering for? Are you cheering for the 99? Are you cheering for what we have and for folks that look like you and like me and they've got it together? Or are you longing to see the one sheep be found and be saved and come in repentance to the Father? Are you rejoicing with heaven? Is that what gets you excited about this Christian journey? There is more joy in heaven over the one. Now listen, the tax collectors and sinners, they're hearing this. You know, they're sitting there sort of eating their meal, watching Jesus talk, and they're starting to put it together. They've heard Jesus tell the Pharisees about the Father who has a banquet and invites the outcast to come and eat. And now here they are eating with Jesus. And they're starting to see Jesus. This is the banquet, isn't it? This is what it feels like to be at the banquet that you're describing. This is the beginning of the banquet. You are currently, even now, calling people to eat at your table. And they're hearing Jesus describe about the lost sheep and the lost coin. And they're saying, I am that lost sheep. I am that coin. And they're recognizing that Jesus is God seeking me. God is seeking me. And maybe someone here hears these stories and realizes that I'm the lost sheep. That I'm the one that Jesus comes to save. And that there is joy in heaven over my repentance. That He came for me, that He is seeking and searching for me, that God values me and is seeking me even when I'm not seeking Him. I invite you to repent. What is repentance? Repentance is turning to God. It is hearing the shepherd's voice. Jesus says that the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. When you're a lost sheep and you hear the voice of the shepherd, you turn and you cry out and you say, "Here I am. Save me." Maybe some of you are hearing the voice of the shepherd calling out to you, "Where are you? Be found." So you're being here today in this message, and God revealing His heart to you, the sinner, is not an accident. This is how God searches and seeks and saves. This is at least one way that God does that. He also dusts the floors of your life. He goes through circumstances in your life and He takes things away. He works in your life, and now you're here, you're hearing this message. That's not an accident. This is the voice of the shepherd crying out, "Where are you? Repent and come." Jesus is shining His light in the dark places to find His lost coin. And maybe that's you. Hear His voice, sinner, and be found. And to those who have been found, you are now on the search team. You are now the light in the darkness. You are now the shepherd going out. You are now the dust broom that is sweeping the floor, searching for the lost sheep and the lost coin. And what a marvelous thought that one who was once lost has not only been found, but now finds the lost. What gets you excited? As the worship team comes back, what gets you excited? Do you hear the heart of God? Do you hear God saying to you, "My heart is for the outcast. My heart is for the sinner"? If you are found, do you know that God wants to use you to find others? That song that we sang, "Come Thou Fount," says, we are heaven, we are kingdom bound. What does that mean? It means that in this life, we are on our way to heaven, and our invitation to sinners is, come with us. Come with us. Come to the shepherd. Come to the Father. This is just as much a message, and it may be more so for the religious type. For the one who would get indifferent, would become indifferent. for the one who would forget that at one point they were lost, and they were sought, and they were found. And it's also for the sinner, the one who realizes and recognizes that they are lost, that they need Jesus. Hear His voice. He loves you. He values you. And He leaves the 99 to come after you. We offer you a time to respond. The song is "Come As You Are." They were waiting on it. That's why they're not playing. They're wondering, is it this one or is it the other one we talked about? They're waiting on my cue. There it is. Sinner, come as you are. Lost sheep, hear the voice of the shepherd calling you back. And one of the songs I think it was "Come Thou Fount Again," says, "I am prone to wander." The lost sheep is not just the unbeliever. There's so many times when we have that tendency to wander away, to walk away, to stray away. Hear the voice of the shepherd, come back. Come back. As we stand and sing, we give you an opportunity to come. Maybe for you, it's for the first time, it's placing your trust and faith in Jesus, being found by the shepherd. The lost coin being found. You are being sought diligently. Oh, sinner, come home. Or maybe it's for the religious type among us, the one who would identify with the Pharisee, like I did. Repent. Pursue the heart of God. Allow God to give you a heart for the sinner. Recognizing that you are just a sinner who's been found. And God wants to use you to find others. As we sing, it's your time to respond. I want to encourage you to recognize that when you walk out of these doors, that you are the seeking heart of God. You know, I think the days of sinners coming into a church and where the pastor preaches and people are saved and come down the aisles in droves, I think those days are over. You know how people are saved today? Whenever God sends out his once lost sheep to go out and find lost sheep, to love them at their workplaces, to love them in their neighborhoods, to love them in the grocery store, to love them on Facebook. If you are a lost sheep that has been found, then you are the seeking heart of God. I hope and I pray that over these few weeks, as we are examining the heart of God and putting ours up next to him, to it, that you will go out, that your heart will be changed to his heart, that when you meet people who are lost, that you'll be aware of that, and that you'll want to bring that lost sheep to Jesus. You'll want to bring Jesus to them. Father, I pray that that would be so. I pray that, God, you would so work on our hearts throughout the week, not just today, as we study with you, as we pray to you each day this week, as we meet with you, as we worship individually. I pray, Father, that you would shape our hearts to be like your heart, that we would go out into our mission field and we would seek that one lost sheep. And we would be part of the rejoicing in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being here.